Once you look again, verse 9 of our text, you'll notice the man of God gives answer to King Amaziah with one of the more profound statements, I think, in all of Scripture. Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." According to our text here in 1 Chronicles 25, the king of Judah, Amaziah, this man, made a spiritual mistake, if you will, because he'd hired an army from the idolatrous northern kingdom of Israel in order to help him in this upcoming war effort of his. So that you see, in addition to the 300,000 men of his own army, Amaziah sent for an additional 100,000 mercenaries from the northern kingdom, the children of Ephraim. And of course, this was a decision that cost him some 100 talents. That's 7,500 pounds of silver. And so when the prophet of God heard about these things, the scripture says that he came to the king, he came to Amaziah, and he told him that this decision was tantamount to making an ungodly alliance. Notice verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, that is, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong in the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and power to cast down." Now wait a minute. The rebuke and the instruction you'll notice from the prophet of God to Amaziah here is very clear. God commanded him, in that verse, to dismiss the mercenaries. God told him to break it off and send the men home because Jehovah wasn't with them. He wasn't with these idolatrous soldiers. And for the most part, Amaziah thought that that was fine. After all, he definitely wanted the presence and the help and the favor of God. But there was this one thing nagging away, apparently, Amaziah's heart. And this is the fact that he had already paid these men. He had already paid these soldiers, or offered to pay them to come all the way down there, a whole lot of money. So that, to put it plainly, he couldn't stand the thought of losing 100 talents of silver in order to please the Lord completely. And of course, beloved, this is a conflict of heart that all of us inevitably face in our own Christian walk and throughout our entire lives. Every Christian will address similar situations when, having to make some decision, you realize that that decision is also going to cost you something. Now, maybe it'll cost you financially. Perhaps it'll cost you in popularity or in opportunity at work or some such thing. It might even cost you physically in some cases. But whatever the case, all of us are going to find ourselves in situations when doing the right thing, the godly thing, I should say the righteous thing, is going to apparently take its toll. You say, "Now wait a minute, Pastor, what do you mean by apparently? Isn't it a prima facie truth here that Amaziah's decision cost him something? Isn't it just manifest right here that doing right is going to take a toll financially for him?" Well, yes, it is, if the only thing that you're counting is 100 fresh talents of silver. You see, beloved, what the prophet wanted Amaziah to count as well is what he said in the last line of verse 9, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." I like the word indemnity. It's an insurance word, of course. But I notice it only comes up when I read things, mostly when I read older books about war and warfare. Because it speaks about being protected, if you will, from loss and damage. In the case of Amaziah, it is God's way of saying to him, "Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're doing, what's right in this war. I have you covered. And not just covered, but more than covered." Somebody in this room today needs this truth. Somebody in this room today needs to know what God is promising through his prophet here. Your decisions next week, next month, regarding your family, your marriage, your business, your children, understand the promise of God that he's able to give you much more than this. Father, please, please speak to our hearts. We need you today. We know that these things are written for our learning and our admonition. We know it because you've told us so, and I pray that we will be taught and admonished today. In Jesus' name, amen. Four things I want us to consider this morning in light of this guarantee that God gives to Amaziah to sort of indemnify his decision to do what's right. After all, I'll say it again, it is a fact of life that sometimes the path of right is a path of sacrifice, and that always the path of sacrifice for God's sake is a path of blessing. The question is, what indemnity? What blessing? Where is the blessing? And of course, when is the blessing going to be received by you and me? Since the Lord is able to give thee much more than this, then what is the context of the much more? Where? Where and when is God's justice revealed in those cases? Well, the first thing I want you to notice, the first of the four truths to consider, is that sometimes the much more, number one, is here and now. That is to say, it's right away. In other words, doing the right thing, even if it's costly in some manner to us, sometimes it actually has an immediate and present reward. Look back at chapter 25 and notice again how the chapter begins and describes Amaziah. Verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think today is the value, the worth of a clear conscience? In other words, when a Christian puts his head on his pillow at night and he knows that he's divided, he knows he's half-hearted in his loyalty to Christ, he knows, therefore, he's a bit of a hypocrite. You know, he cheats and he steals from the job. He slowly robs his neighbor of his land, deceives a client for a few dollars more. If the crowd is acceptable, he'll be glad to take God's name in vain, and so it goes. When someone like Amaziah does right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, the question is this: what amount of money or acceptance or popularity or position makes the half-heartedness truly worth it? Or, let's put it another way, for a Christian who enjoys a clean and a clear conscience, who has a heart that's at ease because it doesn't lie and cheat and compromise its way to material gain or whatever, what exactly is the clear conscience worth? 10 talents of silver? Should he maybe sell it for 50 talents of silver or 100? Exactly what is the complete fellowship of God and the soft pillow of a clear conscience worth? So that you see, among the many, many blessings of obeying God with a whole heart, with all your heart, there is for the believer the instant and immediate blessing of simply knowing that you did the right thing. And yes, Amaziah needed to learn what a lot of us all need to learn, that a grain of peace of mind is of greater value than a whole silo of silver. And any man who wraps an old ragged jacket around a good conscience has far more wealth, far more than a deceiver with a purple robe. And by the way, you do realize that this is one of the reasons why we are told in the Bible as Christians not to envy the wicked, fret not over the evildoers. You don't know what's in their heart. You can't see what they're really thinking in the dark, dark night. I remind you, in Judges 7, God told Gideon to sneak down into the camp of the Midianites at night and hear what they say, God says, among themselves. You're afraid, you're terrified, they're bluster. Go down there and listen to what they say in the quiet of their own tents. And Gideon did. He sneaked up to one of the tents and he heard them tell about their fearful dreams and their tepid hearts. And for all of their bluster and all their revelry and all of their pride, they had no rest in their soul. You see, beloved, no amount of money can buy what God gives you. and what God always gives to the humble of heart. It is a blessing He gives much more than this, right here, right now. His presence, His power, His peace. I was thinking recently about the trend. In fact, I mentioned it a few weeks ago in one of the messages of so many believers today. It's kind of shallow. Shallow effort of always trying to find something more than what God has given us in His Word and His presence, and like the local church, something more than that. In other words, they want a sign or a miracle or a vision or whatever it is, more than just the Scriptures. I'm reminded a few years ago at the Bongo Java in Nashville, the face of Mother Teresa was seen in a cinnamon bun. They later called it the nun bun. It made the owner a lot of money with his really, really kind of goofy merchandise, t-shirts and coffee mugs. And then someone stole it, Christmas Eve 2005. I always wonder if they ate it. Either way, you know what? That's a lousy substitute for real security, real peace, real fellowship in the moment. On November 23rd, 2004, a grilled cheese sandwich that contained the likeness of the Virgin Mary was sold on eBay for $28,000. The owner of it, Hollywood, Florida, he called it a miracle, and he said it's even a greater miracle because a year later it didn't have any mold. It's not a miracle. That's American preservatives. Amen? Then, of course, there was the famous Mary and baby Jesus pretzel that was found in a bag of Roll Gold honey mustard pretzels in 2015. That also sold on eBay. Someone trying to buy something to give them peace. And then the Virgin Mary pizza pan, the screen door Jesus, you've heard me mention before, the watermelon slice, the tortilla that was actually blessed by a priest, the Pizza Hut billboard miracle in Atlanta, the Chicago overpass stain that caused all kinds of traffic jams, the Chihuahua's ear, don't ask. The list is endless. As people will grasp at anything and everything but the truth for their sense of peace and assurance and faith. But there's nothing better than the true promise of God and the true presence of God, and no amount of money can buy that. These are blessings God gives us here and now. But then there's a second truth. Sometimes the much more God describes in His Word, the much more of God's reward is given here, but later. Here in this world, but later in our lives. In other words, God blesses His own who do the right thing down in this life, down in this world, but not necessarily at this moment. Sometimes it is later. Let me show you. Chapter 26 across the page. Look at what it says in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room or in the place of his father Amaziah. In other words, when Amaziah died, you'll notice it was his son Uzziah who reigned in his place. Verse 3. 16-year-old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Wow! How would you like to say that about your 16-year-old? He sought the Lord. And you know what? That is a blessing brought to you by Amaziah's obedience, his son following in his steps. Let me remember how old Amaziah was. How old he was when he gave up that 100 talents of silver and did the right thing. Well, it says in chapter 25, verse 1, he was 25 years old. All right, follow this carefully. Uzziah also had a son, Amaziah's grandson. He had a very peculiar blessing added to him when he became the king of Judah at 25 years of age as well. What was it, Pastor? Look at chapter 27, would you? Verse 1, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. Amaziah's grandson. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah did. Verse 5, He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year, look at this, 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. Follow this. Amaziah's grandson received 100 talents of silver 3 straight years. That's the principal times 3. And the interest God added was the 10,000 measures of wheat and barley. It is a reminder, beloved, that sometimes the reward, the blessing for doing what's right, isn't seen immediately. It's not necessarily instant recompense, but God is no man's debtor to the last. He's always able to give thee much more than this. Both here and now, and here and later. Historians tell us that one of the single greatest positive qualities of Western civilization is identified as, quote, delayed gratification. Any society, any people that does not embrace delayed gratification is doomed. Doomed for chaos and defeat. It doesn't bode well for our country right now to see people looting all over the nation with impunity. And of course, the basis of Christian discipleship. True believers, disciples of Christ. Jesus said, no man is fit for the kingdom. If you put your hand to the plow and you look back, the basis of Christian discipleship is precisely the faith that allows for future justice, future reward, future blessing. You know, for some, the only thing that gets a mother through those long months, all those physical changes when they're expecting, the cravings, you know, whipped cream on an onion or whatever, and then ultimately the labor, what gets them through that? I would never sign up for that, by the way. What gets them through that is the knowledge of the future blessing. I remember the doors leading to a maternity ward once, it said, the door on the left had a sign, it said pull, and the door on the right had a sign that said push, 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 push. The only thing that keeps some parents from strangling their 15-year-old is the promise, the hope of a future reward, a pleasant child. And folks, under the scripture we're looking at today, the glory, the joy, the blessing, whether it's today, tomorrow, next month, or next year, the one thing that is always true is that God is able to give thee much more than this. That's the promise. It is that whatever it costs to do the right thing, God is able to give thee much more. When it comes to God's blessings, his recompense for obeying his reward, sometimes it comes here, only later. Sometimes it comes here and right now, and you're enjoying it right now as you sit in your pew. You immediately enjoy the blessings of God. But then there's a third thing to consider. And that is the truth that sometimes, number three, the blessing is there. Is there and now. In other words, now follow this, Jesus said in Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Storing up treasures in heaven, when do you do that? Well, folks, you do it now. It's for there, but you do it now. You give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty in the name of Jesus Christ, you get a blessing for that there, and it's stored there right now. You give to missions or God's work, you invest in the life of someone else, you took reproach for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is able to give thee much more than this. 100-fold is what Jesus is saying. And up there, it's true, it's a fact. Jesus told us this. Up there, right now, treasures and blessings are being stored away for many of you in this room. So you know, don't ever look like Amaziah at the 100 talents of silver. Don't look at that. Don't let the devil lie to you about the need for instant gratification. The world's singular mockery is always the same. If God really loves you, then why are you fill in the blank? No, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know, beloved, we know better. The trinkets of this world are nothing in comparison to the blessings of God, even those blessings that are now in glory. You know, every so often I receive a letter, sometimes a phone call from some religious endeavor in the town, Palm Beach County, Jupiter. And it asks me to include our church in their cause. And through the years, there's been a lot of things, a new radio station, a political interest, a ministerial association, a concert. And you know, invariably, they will begin by telling me all the benefits of signing on. Free radio time, or articles written about the ministry, financial resources, recognition, maybe even some award. The only problem is joining most of these efforts required some form of compromise. The kind of compromise that God condemns in our text. And I can tell you that it's been times like that many, many times I have thought of God's message to Amaziah: the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Much more. There was a story in the news a few years ago, you'll remember, some of you. Pastor David Tarkington, First Baptist Church of Orange Park. He refused a $600,000 tithe from one of his members. That's because one of his members, Robert Powell, won the $6 million lottery. And he told the elders in the church he was going to tithe on the net, not just on the whole thing, $600,000. They went to the pastor and they decided and told the man, no, thank you. Because he had been speaking, the lottery had just been going on, you know, in full bloom. And he had been speaking about the lottery. And he said it would be wrong for us since we've taken a stand. So I'm reading this article, and in the article, the reactions and the comments from other preachers in that area and neighbors in Orange Park. The pastor of the Divine Holiness Church said, I'll take the money if he don't want it. People in the comments are saying this church was crazy, judgmental, foolish, you name it. But when I read their article, here's what I thought. The Lord is able to give him much more than this. If you're wondering, Pastor, what would you do? Well, that's why I'm telling you the story. If you win it, just don't tell me where you got it. Amen. Do you know that one of you in this room sent me a Christmas card? And in the Christmas card was an unscratched Powerball ticket. And I looked at it and thought, what do I do with this? So Ben was four, I think. I said, Ben, come scratch this off so I don't have to say that I scratched this off. Pastor, I'm going to lose some friends if I take a stand for Christ. I might lose my job, might miss the finals, might not make the team, miss the party. I might be excluded from the will. I'll forgo my award. I'll lose a scholarship. All right, and I will agree that's not fair in most cases, but again, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Losses for the Lord's sake are really not losses at all. And that's because Jesus said, even if you're not recompensed in this life, you are already receiving, he said, an hundredfold in eternity. Every year, some of our men and women lose money or vacation time by volunteering, for example, to work in Vacation Bible School or to go on a missions trip or to go on youth conference and so on. And people have said to me, they've said, Pastor, don't you think we should recognize some of these people and pass out awards and maybe give them back some of their sacrifice, their financial investment, give it back to them? And you know, I got to say, sometimes something like that's appropriate, but I'm not inclined. There are people who are not in our church today because I'm not inclined to do some of that stuff. And that's mainly because I already know that rewards are being passed out. Recognition is being noted. It's happening right now, just not here, in a more substantial place. And that brings us to the fourth thing in the text. Because not only is the blessing of God sometimes here and now, sometimes, number two, here and later, sometimes, number three, there and now, but obviously, sometimes, number four, sometimes the greatest reward of all and the blessing is there and later. Chapter 25, would you look at the last verse? Verse 28 says, and they brought him upon horses, this is Amaziah, and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now I'm going to ask you a question. When someone is buried, whether it be a king like Amaziah or anybody else, what do you think really matters at that point? When entering into eternity, the later of all laters, do you think the 100 talents of silver really meant anything? Or the fact that we read a moment ago when Brother Andy read the text, that he knew these people were going to go away mad. Imagine how much more angry they would have been had they not been paid. Do you think that, even just people being upset with you because you did the right thing? Or is the valuable thing now the decision to honor and obey God? You know, it's always remarkable to me how Satan capitalizes on our short-sightedness and makes present rewards look so perfect and awesome and desirable, far more than they actually are. When I was a teenager, I remember reading a little book, Run, Baby, Run, by Nicky Cruz. Many of you know the story of Nicky Cruz. In the 1950s, he was the leader of New York City's most violent, feared gang. They were called the Mau Maus, after the gang in Africa. And as his testimony goes, having reached really the pinnacle of New York City gang life, even when I worked with the gangs in Chicago, they had heard of Nicky Cruz and the Mau Maus in particular. As a young man, Nicky committed every imaginable transgression and crime and sin. A young man with incredible power and a strange lack of fear towards his fellow man, even though everybody else feared him. But one day, after a fairly long period of being under conviction, Nicky Cruz and his gang attended a service, and they listened. They didn't know if they were going to cause trouble. They didn't know if they were going to run the pastor out. But one thing happened that shocked everybody. And there were a lot of things in that little book that sort of struck me as a teenager. But let me tell you the part I remember the most. It was the moment that Nicky Cruz got up from his pew. Remember, he wrote this book. It's an autobiography from a seat. In front of all of his gang members and all of his rival gang members were there as well. And he walked the aisle, that public meeting, and accepted Christ. And he describes it. He said, here's this old, dilapidated building in the ghettos of New York. It's Spanish Harlem. He said, as he began to walk his way alone down that aisle, nobody joined him. Some of them thought he was walking down there to cause trouble. As he walked down that aisle all by himself, gang members would step in front, remind him of who he was. They'd show him a tattoo, a weapon. Nicky said that some of the girls made crude suggestions to show him what he was giving up and losing. And I remember thinking as a teenager, man, that is just like the devil. In an old, dilapidated building filled with misery and pain and empty dreams, Satan holds up his pathetic promises, pleasures, possessions, and popularity. He holds them up as somehow better than the blessings of Christ and eternal life. And as always, it's just a fraud. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What decisions lie before you right now? Or tomorrow or next month, if the Lord brings this text back to your mind. What decision lies before you? And with that, what reproach will you endure if you do the right thing? Or what temptation keeps coming your way? What offer are you entertaining in the deep secrets of your heart? What sin you're contemplating? What treasure do you stand to lose if you do what's right? Whatever it is, just remember this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In fact, folks, if we're honest, folks, He already has. Salvation alone is much more, eternally much more than anything that the world has to offer. When I was saved at the age of 12, I remember a little sign, about that big, a little plaque that was over the door as you came out of the service and went outside. And I noticed it, Bible Baptist Church, Fayetteville, I noticed it every single time as I left that building. Brother Terry went to that church, Terry Frost, when he was in the Army. We had the same pastor. I don't know if you remember this sign, but I do. Because just about every time I look up and I would see that, and all it said was, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Now, I have no idea why they put it up there. I don't know who put up their pastor or who about it. But I can tell you it was burned into my memory. You cannot outgive God. A couple years later, I was sitting in my required senior counselor meeting at Martin County High School. Every senior, just before graduation, had to go see the senior counselor, go over your transcripts, everything, talk about your future plans, and I did. She asked me my plans for college, and I said, I'm going to go to a small Bible college in Indiana, majoring in missions. And she looked at me, and she said, what? We had 680 graduates that year. I'm pretty sure I'm the only missions graduate going to the mission field. She said, Jim, that's very noble, but don't give up your life, she said. She showed me my transcripts, and she said, don't give up your life for just anything. And when she said that, I saw that sign, you cannot outgive God. In my mind, I saw that sign, you cannot outgive God, not with your life or anything else. God is able to give thee much more than this. Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And God's people even said, amen. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for just a moment. I know this for certain. It's not just the young people in this room that need to know the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And it's not even just the young couples, but it's all of us in this room who maybe regret, bemoan, or are afraid of a decision for Christ because it's going to cost you something. That was Amaziah's fear. What about all the money I paid him? Let him go. Let him keep the money. God will give you much more than this. How true that is. Pastor Blalock, I'm here today, and I'm a Christian by God's grace. If I were to be in heaven, if I were to die, I'd be in heaven. And I know that, but I also know I needed this reminder today. And you know what? Here's the thing. Some of you, maybe not right at the moment you're thinking about it, but you will. You have in the past had to make a decision that would have cost you something. How many disciples said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Let me do this first. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Pastor Blalock, I'm here today and I'm saved, but I needed this reminder and God is speaking to my heart. With head bowed and eyes closed, who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building as I do mine? And amen. Praise the Lord. You cannot outgive God. Not with your life or anything else. For some in this room, undoubtedly, and some watching by live stream, you're not sure that you're saved and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. And for you, I would say that the first thing you must do is recognize that you're a sinner. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages, the payment for that sin is death, eternal death. Today is the day of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for your sins. And maybe, you know, I guarantee you for most who are not saved in this room, and there are some surely or watching, I guarantee you've been convicted before. Today is the day. Father, bless now the invitation time, and thank you again for your word and how we need it. We need to be reminded, Lord, that these interactions between men and you were put down in your word, your eternal word, for our learning and our admonition. Thank you for reminding us, Father, that you're able to do far above, much more than this. And therefore, our testimonies will be stronger because we do the right thing and we make the right decision. Help us in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.